And we stay in Wicklow for a Wicklow resident, but he shared the town they both love so well, Derry. That is Phil Coulter. Hello, Phil.
Good morning, Declan.
Good morning to you. And I know you met John several times, and of course you shared the city. Your thoughts this morning?
Well, more than meeting him several times, Declan, here's the fact that we were both at St. Columb's College together when we were teenagers. John was some years ahead of me. He was a classmate of my eldest brother, Father Joe, and they were best pals. So John, in fact, spent a lot of those teenage years, a lot of those college years in our house. And one of my fondest recollections of John as being a kind of extra member of the family was that when my at the wake for my mother, that tradition of the family members doing a sitting up all night, carrying out a vigil. The only non-family member who did that or sat up all night was John Hume. That gives you an indication of how close he was in our family. We were friends for the rest of our lives, really. And of course, our paths crossed many times in weird and wonderful places. From a little pub in West Donegal where we were singing As Gaeliga and drinking pints of Guinness to the Nobel Peace Awards, to the White House, our adventures were many and glorious.
Yeah, and you mentioned singing. You seem to have a good voice.
Well, John, in common with everybody in Derry, whether they can sing or not, believe that they can sing, and they love to sing. John was no different. I mean, I've lost count of the number of nights, Declan, that we enjoyed our shared pursuits of a nice bite to eat, a few nice glasses of wine, followed by the obligatory sing song around the piano. And one of our joint party pieces, which we performed in so many different locales, was a duet on The Town I Love So Well, with me at the piano and John at my shoulder. When I think back on John from the earliest days of St. Columb's, I have to tell you that growing up in Derry in the 40s and 50s, my recollections, not only of Derry but of the whole landscape, are very much in black and white. Very much in black and white. They were the post-war years. Things were, grim, pretty grim. I mean, I can remember there was an air raid shelter outside of our front door, ration books for the order of the day. But the whole political climate, the whole landscape was very grim, was very grey. And for the nationalist population, our representatives, we were represented by a party called the Anti-Partition Party. Now, the very fact that they called themselves anti-anything will tell you a lot about what the mindset was. Hume completely reinvented that, and he gave the nationalist population a completely different voice. His legacy, you couldn't exaggerate. As a Derry man, as an Irish man, I mean, I know it firsthand the difference that John Hume has made.
Yeah, did you talk politics at all?
Oh, absolutely. We were very much on the same page when it came to politics. Yeah. You couldn't have been in John's company for too long without the conversation turning to politics. But so many times we'd be out for dinner, say in Moville up in Donegal, and we'd be just finished our first course. The main course would arrive, and John's cell phone would go, and he would have to excuse himself to go out and take a call, or he would excuse himself to go out to listen to the news on the car radio. You know, he was always on duty. That's the point. You know, he dedicated his life to that cause of peace. I mean, I've seen that so many times at first hand. And, he sacrificed a lot. I mean, in point of fact, John Hume ended up just a spent force. I mean, he had shot his bolt. He had given everything that he could possibly give. His health failed because he was making just too many demands of himself.
You mentioned him, and you were playing the piano, he was singing, you mentioned various places. I'm going to put those together. I mean, was there stories from, what, the White House even, or the Irish Embassy in America?
All of the above.
Oh, really? Tell us one.
And other places that I can't even begin to tell you. But there was one, when we played at the Nobel Peace Award, Sir James Galway and myself were invited to play at the Nobel Peace Awards, when it was jointly awarded to John and David Trimble. Now, Galway and I, you'd have to understand, Galway...
Cross-community, basically.
Well, yeah, cross-community is right. Galway is from Belfast, he's from one side of the house, I'm from Derry, I'm from the other side of the house, and we come from two different music traditions as well, of course. So we were standing side stage at this, there's a Royal Command performance that happens in the aftermath of the actual presentation. So the Norwegian Symphony Orchestra is there, and they were the great and the good from the world of classical music and ballet and opera, whatever. And Galway and I are waiting our turn in the wings, and Galway turns to me and he said, I said, Jimmy, this is really fantastic. You know, how wonderful for us to be here sharing this glorious moment with two guys from our part of the world. And Galway said, yes, he says, I suppose you could say that it's appropriate. You know the way he talks, very politely. I said, what do you mean, Jimmy, appropriate? Well, he said, some people might think that we're a kind of a musical version of Hume and Trimble. That was my fondest recollection, I think, of the whole business at the whole Nobel Awards.
Indeed. You can't travel, of course, for the funeral, unfortunately. I'm sure you would have liked to be there.
John, if anybody deserves a state funeral, if anybody deserves like all the bells and whistles, it would be John Hume. But sadly, you know, fate can be cruel. But you know, the more important thing is this. In recent times, Declan, I got the feeling that John Hume was becoming a bit of a forgotten hero. You know, he was off the landscape, he was off everybody's radar, and I just got the feeling there were a lot of other people who had taken center stage, and John was to some extent being snow-picked out of the whole history. I mean, for me, he was just being sidelined, and that just irked me greatly. Now, at last, I'm delighted that over the last couple of days there's been these outpourings of tributes from the great and the good. I listened to Bill Clinton yesterday on radio, and he couldn't have been more glowing about John Hume. And I think it's about time, and it's long overdue. And I think that John Hume will definitely be regarded as one of the great Irishmen of our generation.
Absolutely. Just one thing, and that's a lovely way to end, but just one thing, I'm just wondering, what was he like when you were both young? You know, did he show any of this fire of the future?
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. He was a very bad soccer player. I do remember that. There was nothing very precious about John in those early days. Certainly, none of us could have foretold that he was going to be a man who would lead us into a new Ireland. Nobody foresaw that at all. You know, he was not nerdy in any shape or form. He didn't cast himself in the role of being a natural leader of men. He was just one of the lads. He was driven when after he qualified and became a teacher in Derry, that didn't satisfy Hume, because he knew looking around him in the landscape in Derry that things needed to change. I mean, he was born into, well, wouldn't be an exaggeration, he was born into poverty, and his dad would have been on the dole for most of his life. John looked around and saw the inequality in the north of Ireland in general, and Derry in particular, where Catholics were not given a house, weren't given a job, and were definitely discriminated against. And he from those early days, he felt he should address that. And he started off, for example, he was active in getting the credit union founded in Derry as a means to help, the dispossessed, the underprivileged, those people who didn't have access to a bank account or whatever. And that was John's first foray into politics with a small p. You know, he wanted to make a difference. He wanted to make a change. And he got stuck in. That then propelled him into the whole civil rights thing, where that fueled the fire in his belly. There's no doubt about that. And then, well, from then on, you could join up the dots from John Hume leading the protests on the bridge in Derry. You can see his journey from then and being baton charged by the police, etc., right up to the Nobel Peace Award. I mean, I stood on the sidelines and watched all of that with great pride.
Great to talk to you, Phil. Thank you for an amazing tribute to an amazing man, to John Hume. Phil Coulter, thank you very much indeed. And both, of course, from Derry, and Phil wrote that song, The Town I Love So Well, and both of them, I'm sure, would have been nice to be there, had to witness that with Phil on the piano and John Hume singing the song, I'm sure with passion as well, thinking of the town they loved so well. And John Hume, R.I.P. More later on in the programme. It's The Morning Show at East Coast.